Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, everyone. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you today. I'm going to introduce you to Benjamin Lewick. He has been here before on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and we're going to go deeper into the discussion of what we were talking about when he was here in the first time. So very, very inspiring story. He's launching his first book now today, and we're going to talk all about it. But let me introduce you first. Over the last 25 years of leading and developing teams, Benjamin has seen a lot of other leaders blow away KPIs and performance metrics while either not realizing or just straight up ignoring the toxic workplace environment they were creating to get those results. That experience of leading and developing teams across three continents in the volunteer, commercial, government, and entrepreneurial sectors led to the creation of the Ideal Team Framework. This framework has been a battle tested to prove that it is simple action steps empower leaders to build insanely profitable, high-performing teams that last. So you can check out the free training videos and downloads on Benjamin's website, which he'll let us know about here in just a little bit. You can also grab a copy of Benjamin's newest book called The Antidote, which we're going to talk about today. Connect with Benjamin on social media and subscribe to the Priority Initiative YouTube channel. You can join the mission to end workplace-related suicide by bringing the Industrial Revolution era status quo principles of leadership and team development into the information age with a modern people-first approach to business. And let's start with your team, says Benjamin. Welcome to the show today, Ben.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to share this time with you and everybody else who's watching.
You've been busy this week because you said even that you were finishing up some, you were being hosted on other podcasts as well, getting your message out. So how has that all been going?
It's fantastic. It's such a blessing to be able to connect with other people and to hear their stories. I'm a natural storyteller. I love engaging with people in stories. I love hearing other people's stories, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I love hearing other people's horror stories and being able to offer some insights and perhaps some healing and recovery from that, or people's successes recovering from things, or just amazing things. They did stuff right. I love hearing other people's stories, and I love to communicate and tell people stories. So having a chance to get onto other podcasts and to talk to other people about that has just been so rewarding and fulfilling for me. So thank you for this opportunity.
You're so welcome. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you back. You have an incredible story yourself.
I do. I'm not going to jump back into it, not going back to 1994 when I was 12 years old and I started my first entrepreneurial effort. And, you know, that was a long time ago. And 15, I started my first team. It was 25 years ago. Yes, I am in my 40s for the people doing math. I want to back up just a couple of years to 2019. And this was summer 2019. I'm in the Army at this point. I'm an Army staff officer. My specialty is human resources, and I'm help preparing a unit for another deployment. During this time where we are going out into the field doing training and certification exercises every single month, I'm working from about 5 o'clock in the morning is when I show up to work until about 7:30 at night when I finally pack up my work laptop and head home so that I can hug all my kids before they have to go to bed. You know, working that 5 to 7, 7:30 every day, taking my work laptop home with me, working on the weekends, getting phone calls 9, 10 o'clock at night on the weekends. suffice it to say that the climate in that workplace was, there was a lot of toxic elements about it. In addition to that, I'm sure that people listening to this can relate of, you know, bosses being like, hey, I needed this yesterday. How come it's not on my desk, and putting all this pressure on you, and just creating a very stressful, toxic environment with a lot of the elements there. There's all that piece of it, which I'm sure some people have experienced, some people can relate to, but everyone in the workplace is a person. They have a life outside of work. They have things that impact them physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And a lot of times we try to separate the humanity from the workplace and treat people like assets or resources. You know, I've even heard some people, you know, and it may be well-intentioned, but they say, our people are our greatest asset. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate the sentiment, but you're still viewing the people as an asset, as a piece of inventory or piece of equipment. You're not viewing them through the humanity lens of, this is a person. I'm having a human-to-human interaction with a person who has hopes, dreams, feelings, desires, fears, emotional stressors outside of work, things that are going on in their real life. And that's what was happening to me, because the summer of 2019, my son was cooking breakfast on a Saturday morning for us, and he had a focal seizure while he was cooking breakfast and ended up picking up the hot pan and getting second and third degree burns on both of his hands in the midst of this seizure. And we ended up having to rush him to the emergency room. He ended up having to get triage surgery on both of his hands to try to save the nerves and the tendons and the muscles and stuff under the skin. Thank God that the triage surgery, it worked in terms of saving all those nerves and everything. It was a blessing, but he's sitting in there in the hospital with 96 stitches on all the skin grafts. You know, they took a huge chunk of skin off of his leg to be able to do that. And because of the bureaucratic delays with insurance, we weren't able to get in to see a hand specialist. So as those skin grafts started healing, his hands started shrinking down. He started losing flexibility and mobility in his fingers to where he couldn't fully extend his fingers anymore. Oh yeah. And he was also having multiple seizures a day. They were going through different medications. A couple of the medications they prescribed him totally messed up the chemistry in his brain and caused him to be incredibly suicidal, you know, ridiculously depressed and struggling with depression, anxiety because of the chemical depression. So we had to pull him off of that and try to put him on something else that was going to help control the seizures. We go through all this. They discover that the first round of surgeries didn't do what they were supposed to do in terms of enabling him to heal fully. So they scheduled him for two more follow-up surgeries. And you know, they had the first set of skin graft surgeries for triage, and those all stapled together to try to make it heal. And that didn't work. So they went in and did a second round of triage surgeries that they stitched in. And when they discovered that that wasn't working, then we finally got into a hand specialist, you know, and then there's not enough that I can say about having access to experts makes all the difference in the world. When it comes to saving your life, saving the life of your business, saving your relationships, your marriage, whatever it is in life, there are experts out there. Not everybody is an expert at everything, but there's people out there who are experts at something, and it's usually something that you're not an expert in. So having access to someone who's an expert at something can mean the difference between life and death in whatever area of your life we're talking about. So I'm a huge proponent of people who are coaches and consultants and experts and people like this who specialize in something and provide that wisdom of experience and expertise. So we were finally able to get connected with an expert, someone who is a hand surgery specialist. And a hand specialist. And they were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we need to fix what's still going on. So he still has full range of motion, and he doesn't need another skin graft surgery a couple of years down the road as he grows and his hands get bigger. So they scheduled him for two more follow-up surgeries. They're going to do one hand at a time so that he could actually do stuff with the other hand while it wasn't recovering. Through the course of this, I'm still going out to the field every single month, working that 5 a.m. until 7:30 at night. My wife has got her company that she's running. The nanny's helping out as much as she can. We've got this lovely lady who's helping out around the house, but he's still having multiple seizures a day. I'm almost never home because of my work responsibilities and work requirements. And then we discover that the reason he's having seizures is because he has a tumor on his temporal lobe. And they're going to have to operate. They said that the seizures are just going to keep getting worse and worse and could lead to go from focal seizures to grand mal seizures, to where he goes catatonic and stops breathing and all of that. So long story short, they're like, this is the earliest, the March 6th of 2020 is the earliest we can get him in for surgery. Well, March 6th was also the date that my boss had scheduled for me to get on a plane and fly overseas in country to set up our human resources cell to receive the main body of soldiers who were deploying. So I went to my boss at the time and I told him, sir, this is what's going on. My son has a brain tumor. They've scheduled him for immediate brain surgery. And this is the date when it is. I'm not asking to be excused from the deployment. I put on a uniform to defend and serve. Can I send a member of my team who's highly qualified, who can do the same job that I can do because I've trained them, can they go in my stead about a month early to get all this set up, and then I'll go with the main body? So I'll still go on deployment. I just want to be there for my son's brain surgery and to make sure that he's set up and taken care of for post-op recovery. And my boss was like, yeah, no, plan on getting on a plane. We need you there. I want you to be there. So through all of this that was going on, I started struggling real bad with fatigue and insomnia and anxiety and depression and suicidal ideations and stuff like that. Just the way, the crushing weight of all of the stress and the toxicity in my workplace environment, totally disregarding everything else that was happening in my life, got me to this point that a lot of people are at. I've talked to a lot of people and they get to this point because of different things in their life. But there was a leader in my organization who was an amazing man. And he showed up as an exceptional leader for me and was there for me when I needed a leader the most. Even though my boss and things like this had these other focuses and they were creating this certain kind of toxicity in the environment.
So Ben, I just want to find out, like, when you told your boss, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but, and then when we come back, we'll finish the conversation. But when you told your boss that your son is having a brain tumor removed, that surgery is scheduled, and he said, yeah, no, I really need you to be there, was that like an instantaneous response from your boss? Like right away he answered that back rather than, going away, coming back. But was that an instantaneous response?
It pretty much was. Yeah, the conversation lasted about 5 minutes. I told him everything that was going on. I showed him all the documentation from the doctors and things like this. And he was like, yeah, no, mission's more important. Me being successful at this thing that I've been tasked to do is more important than what's going on in your personal life.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where the disconnect lies. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. And I also want to hear about the person that was there for you, the amazing man that you're going to tell us about. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store, download it, launch and create your free account, get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories, click on resources of the world's best influencers, find me at the top of the list, and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
So, welcome back, everyone, to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm talking with Ben Lewick, and he was sharing with us how when he went to his boss, the boss said, no, you're not going to be able to go to your son's surgery. We need you. The mission is more important. And then what happened, Ben?
So then I went away from that conversation. Just, I mean, absolutely crushed emotionally, because then I had to go tell my wife, hey, this significant emotional event in our life that's putting so much stress and pressure on us. My boss said, I can't be there for you, for our family, for my son, who's having this brain surgery, remove a tumor from his temporal lobe. And, you know, there's this life-saving procedure with a specialist. So struggling with the anxiety and the depression and intermittent suicidal ideations, just because of the stress and the insomnia and stuff causing chemical depression, put me in this place to where I struggled to have the right mindset. Thankful for me, though, I had leaders who showed up as exceptional leaders for me. One of the other leaders in the organization, just an amazing person, had a lot of the same toxicity he was dealing with, because my boss was also his boss. And he had more stuff placed on him, but he still took the time out of his day to check up on me and see how I was doing and get updates on my son and my family and see if there's anything that he could do to support me in my professional responsibilities and things like this. And then there were a couple of other officers who also would just regularly come by my office and be like, hey, man, how are you doing? Grab a cup of coffee and just sit down in there and just kind of chat with me for a couple of minutes, just to provide some kind of normalcy and let me know that I wasn't alone, that there were people who cared about me outside of work, that they cared about me as a person, you know? So the long and the short of this situation is that my boss's boss found out what was happening through someone else, completely outside the organization, someone else who I had showed up as a leader in their life, and they resonated with me, told their boss, who is friends with my boss's boss, you know? So he found out what was going on. It was like, basically like, okay, it makes no sense for him to go on this deployment. He doesn't need it for career progression. I've got an officer sitting up here at this higher echelon, this higher level organization, who needs this for career progression. So we're going to swap them out. We're going to use his talents up here to manage the talent management for this organization of about 2,400 people. We're going to use him up here to manage this, and we're going to send this other officer down to go on deployment so that he can do that for career progression. And then Benjamin can be there for his son's, you know, major brain surgery. So that's what happened. Thank God that I was able to be there for my son's brain surgery. The brain surgery actually took about half the amount of time that the surgery team was predicting. No complications. Everything as far as the surgery turned out fine. They didn't have to make any major incisions. They just made a tiny little hole. They didn't even have to shave his hair because of the laser surgery that he was able to do. And then they slowly started phasing him down off of all of his seizure medicines. And I mean, here we are, well over 2 years later. He hasn't had any auras, any seizures, no side effects. He's a completely normal teenage young man, and I'm so thankful for that.
And how are his hands?
He's got full range of motion. The scars are healing up nicely along the edges of the skin grafts and everything. And as he just continues to, restore, with lotion and stretches and all the things that the specialist, the expert hand therapist told him, he hasn't had to have any additional skin graft surgeries. He hasn't had any issues with mobility or sensation. His hands are completely fine. And he's completely seizure free.
That's so awesome. Congratulations on that. I just really feel like, you know, God had a hand in that, like, you know, through all the right people that were coming forth to support you in all of this. And it's a wonderful, a good story, you know, ending, we should say, to begin again, to, you know, for your son and your family.
Absolutely. So throughout all of the stuff that was going on, I still had a responsibility to show up as an exceptional leader for my team, the people that I was responsible for. And throughout all of this stuff, this idea of taking everything that I had learned over the past 20, 25 years about developing high-performing teams and condensing it down into a book that talks about the framework that I've personally used to be ridiculously successful at leading teams and developing high performing teams over the years, I was like, other people need to know how to do this, because the toxic environments are the root cause of the depression, the anxiety, the insomnia, all of these things that for some people lead to workplace related suicide. I was like, this is preventable. People just need to know how.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this book spawned out of, was being in the midst of the fire and coming out of it and seeing other people still in the fire and attending funerals of people whose leaders didn't show up for them. And they made a permanent decision to a temporary situation and they're no longer with us. It is a passion that drives me, because I believe that workplace related suicide is preventable and that exceptional leadership prevents funerals, because of how you show up in people's lives.
Yeah. Now let me ask you a question. The book Antidote that you wrote, that you just launched, that is public now, people can get it. Does that talk about this?
It does. The principles in the book, it's very straightforward and practical. I'm all about applicability, because there's so much out there in terms of information that most of the leaders that I've talked to say they're struggling from information overload.
Yeah.
That they get so much information all the time, whether it's through reading or through professional networking or masterminds or podcast or whatever it is, they're just drowning in information, but they're starving for applicability. So that's what the book is. It frames the concepts and then launches into the core chapters that at the end of each core chapter has a high performance execution section. It's like, okay, here's how you take what we just talked about and actually do something with it in your life, in your team, in your business.
That's fabulous. That's really wonderful. Now, let us tell the audience where they can take a look at your book, where they can find out more about it and also find out more about you.
Okay. So I've tried to make things as simple as possible. If you go to priorityinitiative.com, there's a button that says connect that has all of my social media links. You can pick the favorite platform, pick all of them. Connect with me on a platform there, priorityinitiative.com/connect. There's also a tab in the navigation at the top that says books. If you click on that and then click on the picture of the book, it'll take you directly to the Amazon page. You don't even have to go hunting for it. And then there's also a about us that tells you more about who my company is, what our mission and vision is, what our six core values are. And then there's some pictures of me with my family and some other stuff in there, for the people that want to check me out.
That's wonderful. Now, are you still in the military today?
I am not. I transitioned out in May of last year and launched my company.
Good for you. Congratulations. That's a whole new beginning. And we certainly need companies like you, leaders like you out there in the world that are creating sustainable work environments that are here to help people become you know, that are thriving in their leadership, that are thriving in their abundance, and able to, you know, set up environments that help people to thrive.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, it's something that everybody realizes, that every organism, no matter what it is, either thrives or dies in direct relation to the environment that they're in. Mm-hmm. It's the same with people. Humans thrive or die based on the environment that they live and they work in, you know? And thank God that all these companies and the federal government and things like this have invested so many hundreds of millions of dollars into suicide awareness and suicide prevention and behavioral health resources. And that's amazing and wonderful. And I'm so thankful for that. But that's still only addressing a symptom. The root cause of it is the environment that those people are in. And that's what I'm going after.
And good. We need people to go after the root cause, to go to the root cause, because otherwise, you know, that symptom that you were just talking about is just basically a pill that's there to cover it up, and it never gets to the root cause. And so thank you so much, Benjamin. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here again on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. And I know we're going to see each other again in the future. I wish you much success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your time. Blessings.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to close out the show today. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your Friday. Stay tuned for the next Cornelia Stephanie Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.